Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get right to it. Let me get you some final numbers for the market for Friday, June 20th. I know the year's flying by. So let's see. Final numbers, Dow up 25 points to close at 16,947, getting ever so close to that magical, mysterious, exciting 17,000 points. So we're all looking forward to that. S&P 500 up about, about 3 points? 1963 is the closing number for the S&P for Friday. And the NASDAQ up 0.1% to close at 4,368. Other notable items, gold, a little bit of a gain there. Gold still above that $1,300 an ounce, $1,315 per ounce. So if you got any of that old jewelry, maybe now's a good time to get it liquidated and get some money for it. Crude oil, if you've got any of that laying around also, good time to trade that in because it's $106 a barrel. That's the West Texas Intermediate. The Brent's in the $114-$115 range. If you follow that one, that's the international. But 106 and some change for oil per barrel. Euro still about $1.36. I'm just going to say same old for the euro, $1.36. 10-year bond, interesting. Pretty quiet. You know, there's been news coming out that came out last week with the Federal Reserve's dropping the bond buying, which is split between the mortgage-backed securities and the treasuries. So with all of that being digested, the 10-year bond is still hovering around 2.6% yield. So if you buy a 10-year bond, it's going to get you 2.6. Most people do not do that, but everything else that we do buy or that we do invest in has some relationship to that 10-year treasury, especially if we're talking about corporate debt or mutual funds that invest in corporate debt and other things. And also what it costs companies to finance their growth and expansion is going to be a derivative of that 10-year treasury. So if a company issues new debt, well, what they're going to have to pay for it is going to be some percentage over what the 10-year treasury earns. So now you know that if you didn't know that. That's some of the major stuff. Let me see. Let me also get you real quick here, kind of a year-to-date run through on the numbers. We haven't done this lately, so let me give you an update. Here's the rough numbers, and I'll give you some couple of key things I want you to have. Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Dow. The Dow is up about 2 points year-to-date. NASDAQ's up about 4.5. S&P 500's up about 6. The mid-cap and small caps improving. The mid-cap up about 6 as well, and small caps up about 2. The international markets, let's see who our winners and losers are. Out in front, who's got the lead? We have India out in front, about 19% year-to-date. Who else is behind there? Italy also not to be left out. Up about 17 points, Spain up about 13, and Canada up about 11. Those are the big standouts. Spain's up about 13. Losers, who's in negative category? Let's see. Japan is of note because they had been off significantly earlier in the year, off now only, quote-unquote, only about 6%. China's still negative around 4%. Those are the only big ones. Only notable, South Korea off just a little bit, but nothing really significant there. So that's some of the major market activities. Interest rates holding where they have been for some time now. The federal fund rate still at about 0.25%. And the prime rate, which is usually 3 points over the federal fund rate, since say that 10 times fast. The prime rate is at 3.25. 5-year CDs average is about 1.4%. That is a bank rate survey of over 4,800 online banks. So your individual experience with your local bank may be different, but that's the average. 30-year mortgage still holding around 4.3, 15-year mortgage 3.4. So major stuff there. Let's grab a quick open and come back with some good stuff. Stay right there.
Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back. Hey, so I've got some things I've been wanting to talk about. So here they are. Have you been following the IRS story? Good grief. Here we are as individual taxpayers. We've got to, you know, we've got to account for everything. We better be able to prove what we did with our deductions. But when it comes to the IRS, well, you lose, thousands of emails, and then you can't find the hard drive, and it got recycled, and all this relating to the big fuss about the targeting of conservative groups by the IRS, accusations of that being obviously politically motivated leading up to the election, presidential election, and now they can't find, or they haven't been able to find, the hard drive for the computer in question for the IRS official Lois Lerner. So you've got to find your deductions, and heaven forbid you can't produce them. You're in trouble, and you are considered guilty until proven innocent, because they send you, if you don't have something right, and I've done it myself, I missed a 1099 that I'd gotten, and they sent me a love note. I think it took them a couple of years for the computers to, then they had their hard drives and their computers worked just fine, thank you very much, but they finally connected the dots and sent me a note. I said, oops, I'm sorry, but the note said, we think you owe this, prove it. So IRS, we think you still have a lot of emails that maybe you don't want to release. Prove it. Anyway, that's it for the that from the entertainment department. Not so funny is one heck of a double standard, and I found this to be extraordinary. If you're following the political show, and it's all a big show, the other thing that I found very interesting is Bill and Hillary Clinton, and this follows on Hillary. Of course, she's doing her book tour, and she is she has kind of a pseudo campaign. She's not declared a campaign, but everybody knows she's going to run for the next election, 2016. And she's been quoted, you know, as saying they were dead broke when they left the White House in early 2001. But of course, they had a lot of gigs lined up and far from being destitute. And what's very interesting to me is that related to that story, of course, now, you know, there's a hyper focus on their finances where there wasn't. And this, of course, is the risk of talking and being in politics. But the story I found interesting, and it's not just the Clintons, I'm not picking on them, but I found it interesting because it's a consistent theme I have seen in doing the work that I do. I have to stay tuned to tax policy and what's coming. The Clintons and others, they favor higher taxes. And, you know, of course, we as individuals don't want to pay more taxes than we have to. What's interesting is, regardless of anybody's political persuasion, I've never had somebody come in my office and say, David, help me figure out how I can pay more taxes. It's never happened, even from people who would describe themselves as very progressive, very much in favor of larger government, very whatever you want to call that. And I'm not judging that. I'm saying that even those folks don't want to pay more taxes themselves. They want you to pay more tax, but they don't want to pay more tax. And the Clintons, what's with this hyper focus? Now we find out that, and they have been big supporters of the estate tax or inheritance tax, where you die, you have to, your estate, your heirs will not get some portion of your assets if you exceed certain limits. And they have been big believers and big supporters of that. And wouldn't you know it, with the hyper focus on their finances, now comes a story from Bloomberg, and it's been reported other places, that they have gone to great lengths to have all kinds of special trusts, a residential trust, insurance trust, and to have a whole gifting program and all this stuff. To guess what it does? It reduces their family's estate tax. So, in classic form, I ask the question, which is it? Which is it? Do you want to pay? So, you don't want to pay more tax, but you want everybody else to. And you know who else does this is Warren Buffett. And I love Warren Buffett when he talks about investing. But when it comes to politics, I get a little frustrated with him, especially tax policy, because he wants everybody to pay more in tax and more in estate tax. But he's avoiding all taxes on his estate with, he's going to give his assets or significant portion of them. Maybe he won't escape completely, but giving a significant portion to charity, which I like that part. But again, which is it? So the folks that say you need to pay more tax, they don't want to pay more tax. So isn't that funny? Interesting. And why the point of all that? Well, my point to you is that you need to be, we all need to be, self-determining, self-focused, and figuring out how we can make the most of what we have. And so that brings me to my real story that I want to share with you, and that is that the Supreme Court recently ruled that inherited IRAs are not exempt from bankruptcy or creditors. Well, did I just start talking another language? What are you talking about, David? Well, here, let me set it up for you, and we're going to get into this a little bit because it's a little bit detailed and it's a little bit, I want to unwind it for you. But basically what they said, the Supreme Court said is, look, if somebody else has an IRA, 401k, 457, 403b, any of those types of not yet taxed money, and the most common form is 401ks and IRAs, if the person who owns that dies and they name you as the beneficiary of that account, the way it works under current tax law is that you inherit that IRA. And so the titling, or the way the IRA is described, is it's described as an inherited IRA, also sometimes called a beneficiary IRA. And when you inherit it, there is no income tax due at that moment. Now, back to my previous story, if your estate is large enough, there could be an estate tax due by the person who has died on the IRA. But I'm not talking about estate taxes right now. I'm talking about income taxes. So there's no tax on the IRA at the time of death, and it becomes basically owned by the person who inherits it. And what they're able to do is they're able to roll that over and treat it as their own IRA, but it's still a different type of IRA. It's not commingled with your 401k or the IRA that you would set up yourself. It's a separate, distinct, different type of IRA. We've got inherited IRAs, we've got Roth IRAs, and we've got regular IRAs. An inherited IRA, you get it, so the person dies, they leave it to you, then that becomes your IRA, but it's a separate type. Now, what's special about it is that you don't have to pay the tax when you inherit it, and you get to draw just a little bit out each year. Basically, it can become part of your retirement plan. So if you had a wealthy benefactor, if you had a wealthy family member, or even whoever it may be, and they leave this to you, it doesn't even have to be a family member, it can be a close family friend, and they leave this to you, there's no income tax, and it can become part of your financial future. So, and you don't have to take much out. So all of that, and this has not been taxed yet, so all that could continue to grow without taxation, which is a wonderful thing. Now, the Supreme Court ruled that that can't be creditor protected. And the distinction is, prior to this ruling, inherited IRAs were treated like 401ks and IRAs, which do get favorable bankruptcy creditor protection. And, you know, standard disclaimers apply here. I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on TV or the radio. But my understanding is that, as a planner, my understanding of the law or how it works, and of course, states are going to vary, but if you have an IRA or 401k, life insurance, your homestead property, these things are afforded special creditor protection under our state statutes and the federal bankruptcy rules and all of that. So if you have an IRA and you get sued, or there's a creditor situation, or you go bankrupt, some of these things may be protected. But the distinction drawn is that the inherited IRA now is not. And that has significant consequences for people who are planning their estate, and also for the folks that will inherit. So I'm going to grab a quick break. I'm going to come back. I want to share with you some of those implications. If you've got a big IRA that you are planning on leaving to your beneficiaries, don't miss this. Stay right here.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we're back. So you can't get the creditor protection on inherited IRA. And so let's say, okay, so let me walk you through some scenarios here. And I have some ideas about how to solve this challenge or situation. So let's say you have a large IRA and you aren't expecting to draw a lot from it, or there's a good chance it's going to remain intact for your beneficiaries. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm just going to use a simple example. Let's say that, and again, you can divide and multiply, you know, it's just a simple example. Let's say you have a $200,000 IRA and you die, you leave it to your spouse, and then your spouse dies and they leave it to, let's say you have one child, and we'll keep it really simple. Okay, that child inherits that IRA, and let's say you don't have a lot in other assets, house, cash, but that's this is one of your assets. And so, but your total estate, let's say, is under $1 million, which is, for a lot of us, that's what it is. And so that there's no estate tax, so there's going to be income tax on that IRA when it's drawn out. And if you haven't drawn it out during your lifetime, it gets rolled over. Your child receives it, and now they're going to draw on it. There are required minimum distributions for an inherited IRA, just like they are for an IRA once you reach 70 and a half. So you don't get off scot-free. The person inheriting does have to start drawing on it right away, but it's based on their age, and it's a very, very small amount, 1% or something like that. And then over their lifetime, they're forced to take more out. So what typically is put forth as an estate plan and a quote-unquote wealth preservation plan, that's what the estate planners will call it, or wealth transfer plan, is if you don't use your IRA or you use other assets first, you just take your required minimum distributions during your lifetime, you leave it to your family, they get to roll it over into an inherited IRA, it sits out there, and then they will continue to defer, and then they can then use it in their retirement. And they've gotten all of this tax deferral, which is a wonderful thing for accumulating. All true. The other thing that people like with an inherited IRA up until the Supreme Court ruling is it had this, that there it was treated like other IRAs for creditor protection. Well, that changed. And so what can happen now is, let's say that in my example, the $200,000 is inherited by the child. And let's say that either at some point the child declares bankruptcy or there's a lawsuit or whatever the case may be, that asset, that inherited IRA, now is not given that preferential treatment that an IRA would. So let's say the child has a 401k at work, and we're talking about an adult child, 401k at work worth $100,000 and a $200,000 inherited IRA. The, as I understand it, a non-attorney, the 401k is going to be protected, afforded special treatment in the event of a creditor lawsuit or bankruptcy, whereas the inherited IRA won't. That's a big deal, because the whole idea with these inherited IRAs is for them to accumulate for your retirement. So what do you do about this? Okay, well, let me talk about the two parties here. So mom and dad, or the benefactor, again, it might be an uncle, it might be an aunt, it might be a family friend, it might be whoever, you know, if, whatever your circumstances are, it doesn't matter the nature of the relationship, it's all treated the same. Okay, so what do you do to help your beneficiary you're trying, you would otherwise leave the inherited IRA to that person? What do you do differently? What is your plan? Well, what you do differently is you rethink or give some serious, before you didn't have to think about their financial situation, you didn't have to think about the potential of lawsuits or whatever. And there may be things that come out that this also, there may be additional clarification, and I haven't read this yet. There might be clarification as to whether this is treated in how this might be handled in divorces. It may have some impact, although I don't think it will, but it might. So this may have a ripple effect. Because right now, if it's you keep your property separate that you inherit, it's excluded from, you know, the divorce division of assets. But so let's say you've got this situation. You have to consider your beneficiary's financial circumstances and consider the risk. And so let's say that that child is the adult child. Again, the scenario with the $200,000 IRA, they've only got $100,000. Otherwise, $100,000 401k, and maybe they've got a house. Or, you know, this 200 is a significant asset to them, is what I'm trying to say. $100,000 is a lot of money. $200,000 though is a would be big compared to the other things they have in my example. Okay, so what do you do as the person wanting to help them? And you've got this, you're going to leave them this asset. Well, let's say that you know that they are maybe not the best with money. Maybe you have a real concern about them facing bankruptcy. Maybe you know them very well and you know what may come in the future. Then here are some things to think about. Number one, you could take that IRA and use it as a funding vehicle, meaning you could draw out of the IRA, pay tax on it, and then give that money in to the beneficiary through a trust. Now, you can do it where you just put the money into the trust and draw out maybe over a period of time and just put it into the trust. The trust, and this is where the attorney gets involved, and I work with attorneys all the time on things like this. The trust could be established to where the beneficiary doesn't get the money when you die. It is a continuing trust, a trust for the benefit of that beneficiary. You have to have a trustee, and the trustee holds that money, invests that money, and determines when the beneficiary gets the money. Usually the trust will specify when the money goes to the beneficiary, under what conditions, and the trustee manages it and distributes the money. Now, there is a discretion usually afforded the trustee to provide money to the beneficiary of the trust under certain conditions. So one of the conditions might be that they're not facing a lawsuit or bankruptcy or something like that. So in other words, the trustee doesn't have to give the money to the beneficiary because it's going to go until whatever's going on goes away. So what that does is, in effect, is it protects that money from going to creditors or, you know, being used in a bankruptcy. So it's protected and could be then later given to the beneficiary to help them. Now, another technique is to use the money from the IRA, because you're having to draw that money out of the IRA to put it into the trust. You're going to be paying tax on it. You're the owner of the IRA. As you do that, you pay tax. Well, obviously, you're diminishing what's going to be going to the beneficiary. So the other thing you can do, which, back to my lead story, the Clintons have done, you can create and it's a very popular technique, by the way, you can do a life insurance trust where the trust owns a life insurance policy on you, and you use the IRA money to fund to pay the premium for the life insurance. So in my example, let's say that your age and your health allow you to get a policy that is worth, say it's worth $400,000, using the money coming out of the IRA to buy the insurance. Now, this is pretty cool. Now that $400,000 is out of your estate. There's no estate tax. There's no inclusion in your estate. The $400,000 is not subject to income tax. And if the trust is properly structured, it's not subject to creditors. So now you've taken an asset that would otherwise be subject to income taxes for the beneficiary, the inherited IRA. They'll pay taxes on it when they get it as they draw it out. And it's that inherited IRA is now also potentially subject to creditors. The trust asset, so when you die, the life insurance policy is paid off by the insurance company. $400,000 goes into the trust. The beneficiary can't get it, which means their creditors can't get it. It's probably not going to be included in bankruptcy. And now you've got an asset that is a much better asset and a better arrangement for that beneficiary to provide for them during their lifetime. Pretty cool, huh? So there are things that you can do to respond to a situation like this. Now, let's jump back over to the beneficiary. Well, do I need to grab one more quick break? Let me grab one more quick break and I'll come back and talk about the beneficiary getting the inherited IRA. Stay right there.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back, and we're talking about the inherited IRA Supreme Court ruling that they are no longer given or afforded special treatment as it relates to creditors and bankruptcy. So let me see if I can do this in 3 minutes. Ready? Okay, so I'm going to talk about what you do if you're the on the other side of this, and you are the fortunate soul who has received, of course, you don't want it because somebody's passing it to you at their death, but you are the fortunate soul getting an inherited IRA. So what do you do in light of what I just described to you about the fact that this is no longer afforded the special treatment and protected from creditors or bankruptcy? What you do is when you inherit that IRA, instead of taking advantage of the deferral and pushing off and only take a little bit out, what you do is if you are working and you have opportunity to participate in a 401k or something like that through your employer, what you do if you're not already taking money out of your 401k to make a contribution to it through salary reduction, you know, you can put away quite a bit now, you know, 10-15%, whatever is something you can sustain. A lot of people would put in enough to get the match that the company offers if they offer a match. But what you do is you increase the amount that you are withholding and putting into your 401k through your wages. You do as much as you can, and you then replenish that. That's obviously cost you money. It's going to reduce your paycheck, right? So what you do is you replenish that lost cash flow to your monthly budget, right? You replace that by withdrawing from the inherited IRA. So you don't defer the inherited IRA. You go ahead and start. So let's do simple math. Let's just say $500 is the amount extra that you put into your 401k every month. Well, what do? You take $500 out of your inherited IRA. You're going to pay tax on it, but you're not paying tax on the $500 that you are putting into your 401k because it comes out of your payroll before it goes into your tax calculation. And by doing that, you are reducing the asset that could be subject to creditors, and you're increasing the asset that wouldn't be. And so this is a deliberate step. So if you are in that position, this is one idea I had when I read the Supreme Court ruling, that you can embrace that. Go ahead and, you know, a little counterintuitive, but once you think it through, I think it makes sense. Go ahead and if you've got a significant inherited IRA, maximize the ask at the 401k at your work, what's the most I can put in, and then you just take enough out to replenish your cash flow. And if you don't have one through work, then set up your, you know, you can look and set up maybe your own IRA and be able to do this strategy with it. So I think it's a good plan. It's a way of being nimble and addressing this change. So, all right, very good. Thanks for being with me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.